Good morning. You're welcome. A couple of announcements this morning. Our Christmas Eve service will be Tuesday at 4 o'clock here at the church. All are welcome. The next Sunday service is 11. The annual meeting agenda is posted at the back. The annual meeting will be January 18th at 1 p.m. Are there any prayer requests? Also remember Lynn in our prayers as she's for her ongoing health issues. And that's Lynn H., but I don't remember the last name, but what's that, Tom? Yeah, well, okay, that makes sense. Any other prayer requests or announcements? Miles will read the psalm this morning, and Cal will say the prayer, and Tom will bring us the message. Let me begin.
The psalm reading for today is Psalm 80, verses 1 through 7. O give ear, shepherd of Israel, you who lead Joseph like a flock, you who are enthroned above the cherubim, shine forth. Before Ephraim and Benjamin and Manasseh, stir up your power and come to save us. O God, restore us and cause your face to shine upon us, and we will be saved. O Lord God of hosts, how long will you be angry with the prayer of your people? You have fed them with the bread of tears, and you have made them to drink tears in large measure. You make us an object of contention to our neighbors, and our enemies laugh among themselves. O God of hosts, restore us, and cause your face to shine upon us, and we will be saved.
Mm-hmm. morning. Merry Christmas to all. God's peace to you all. Welcome to all the visitors. We pray that your not only your travels here have been safe, but they will be safe throughout this holiday season and on the way home. And welcome back if you think that you're ever inclined to come back this way. Well, so let us join in prayer as we open. Father, we certainly have lots in our heads this morning. Hearts are full. Pray for those whose maybe hearts aren't as full as we take for granted that they can be with the success that you provide, that we are so grateful for, that all that you provide for us throughout the year, that you will provide for us this morning, and the simplicity of the songs that we've sung, and as the psalmist has mentioned, that Father, that you would not be angry with this prayer, and our prayers that we lay up to you in supplication, need, and want, and Father, that though you may ask us to ask you for things, we know that it is that you want us to be holding to you, and that you are our helper. You will provide, as we have sung about already, that the joy that fills our hearts comes from you, Father, the Father of love. May we be able to, with confidence, come before you, knowing that you have given us this gift of salvation, this means of redemption, that you will bring a people unto you, and that we can be part of that people, and that we will provoke one another unto love, to cherish that thought, that we can with faith, that even get a grasp of this knowledge of the wisdom and the spirit that will dwell within us, that passes our understanding, and we can rest assured in that. Father, be with Lynn, as was mentioned, and we ask for your physical health for her and full recovery, if possible. That's what we ask for, and nothing short of that. And those who have suffered along with her, those who are empty, as mentioned, that struggle to find the joy at this time of year to be full and merry. And Father, we're just humbled with the gratitude that that you have provided this peace that passeth understanding. Father, be with Tom this morning as he brings us this message here, as we're this fourth Sunday of Advent, to this beginning of your calendar year, as we begin to wrap up our year as we mark it, but that we start this new year and start it on this high note with song and celebrate this gift, and that we can build on that and begin to work to that end of salvation that you have provided for us and paid for the way. Father, may we say that prayer that you have taught us, and that we could not say it enough and remember enough these words, the simplicity of it. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Shall we continue?
Good morning. May the grace and mercy and peace of God our Father and His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, be granted unto you this morning, this hour of worship, through that indwelling Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, today feels like, for me, Christmas morning. So I'll kind of explain. We won't be here. We will be leaving this afternoon, hopefully before the 2:30, 3 o'clock, 4, 4 o'clock, depending how long I speak. So if you had lunch prepared at 1:30, well, you might want to delay that. No, I'm kidding. It is interesting how Christmas morning, you're getting ready for everything. You're trying to present a feast, a perfect lunch, a perfect breakfast, a perfect dinner, and it seems like you're always behind. You have to do this, and you have to do that, and you have to get this done and that done, and it seems like there's constant busyness. And in Isaiah, when he's prophesying the coming of Christ in this text, it's more of a peace. In a time where there was struggles, there was idolatry, there was majority of the people were not believing. It was kind of like today, very much like today. And they were waiting for the Christ to come, the Messiah to come. And we, as Christians today, are waiting for Him to come again in the hope that He comes again with a confidence, because we have that Holy Spirit indwelling, with a confidence that He will come when He said, "It is finished," on the cross, "It is finished," and we are at rest. So the busyness and the things that you do Christmas morning is not really necessary. It's not that it's not necessary. It's just, it's more of not, we don't need to be so busy. So the text today that was chosen, and really I had a hard time picking a text. I had three different ones looking at them all week, and I kind of looked this last night and kind of said, well, this seems like the one to look at, and it's in the book of Isaiah, the 9th chapter, verses 6 and 7, and we'll read it in Jesus' name. We'll also be going through the Bible, through different verses to kind of tie in the birth of Christ. Why was He born in the first place, and what was the purpose of His life, and before creation, because that has something to do with it, and Cal's favorite book, The Revelation, we'll touch on a little bit. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon His shoulder, and His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of His government and peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon His kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Sanctify these words, Father, for Thy word is truth. So when we look at the birth of Christ, and the reason why He was born, He came here to save sinners. And Paul says, in which I am chief. And I've thought of this the other day. I've said it to some people that I think if he would have come today, he would have said, "It's in whom I am chief, but have you met Tom? Or have you met this person?" And I think every Christian understands that. As a true Bible-believing Christian, we're probably all at the pinnacle of chief of sinners. There's not one more than the other. And at the same time, none of us will be righteous unless we have the righteousness of Christ put upon us. And that's the work of the Father through the Son. So we have the birth of Christ.
And the one verse that is repeated very often is in Luke 2, verse 7. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Obviously, there was no room for them in the inn. How does that apply today? The busyness of the season, the busyness of the day, the Advent season, the Advent calendar. Do we have room for Jesus? Have we thought about Jesus during this time? It's 2 days, 3 days till Christmas. Have we looked into the Word to glean from the Word what is necessary for this day? Have we thought about Christ in conversation throughout our day? Has the Word come to you during the day? Has a person's name come to you to pray for? Have you thought about this in a way so that it comes where it says, pray without ceasing? If it has, you're in a good place. You're in a good place because the communication between the Holy Spirit and you is open. You're aware of it, and you are listening, and you're having that conversation. You're praying for others. You're doing the things that God has instilled in you only by that Holy Spirit. And the reason why is because you are His. You were chosen before the foundation of the world to be an army of saints. And that's why Jesus Christ came. Because we have to understand there was a warfare before creation. Before creation, there was a warfare. The fall of mankind was not, and the resurrection of Christ and the birth of Christ was not plan B. There was a warfare in heaven, and Satan was cast out. This was before creation. So we're kind of gonna look at that as quick as we can so that we can understand where we all are with that. And we want to take it from the point of view of Jesus. In Luke 10, 16 to 20, it says, and I'll quickly touch on these, but not just to try to paint a picture. And if the picture looks all black and all messed up, well, you can blame the person that's trying to explain it. In my mind, it's as clear as clear. But so 10, 16 to 20 of Luke. And it is interesting. He heareth. This is when Jesus sent his disciples, the 72. And it says, "He that heareth you heareth me, and he that despiseth you despiseth me, and he that despiseth me despiseth him that sent me." And the 70 returned with joy, saying, "Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through his name." Notice they're pretty proud because they can cast out devils. This is what I would say is the 1,000-year tribulation period of the church. God is building his church. This is the starting point. This is my opinion of this. And he said unto them, "I beheld Satan and as lightning fall from heaven." Before the world was created, this is what happened. He was kicked out of heaven because he wanted to be as God. He wanted to be like God, and he wanted to usurp authority for God. And he says, "Behold, I give you unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall be any means hurt you." Why is he doing this? So the church will grow, and grow for the next 1,000 years. And immensely. "Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not." Don't rejoice in this. "That the spirits are subject unto you. But rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven." So, that's where we rejoice. Our names are written in heaven because of the work of the cross, because of Jesus Christ who came. So Jesus is saying, One of two things. The church is going to be growing and growing and growing for 1,000 years. And Satan's going to be bound, but he's not good. There'll still be sin, right? And this is what we're going at with this. God is presenting an army of saints, the bride of Christ, holy and blameless, as a gift offering to his son. And that's what it is. That's what it's about. Before he created the world, he wanted to give a gift offering for his son. However, if the fall does not happen, how can you worship a God with spirit and in truth without knowledge that he is God? And God knew this. So we look at 2 Peter 2:2-4. And this is from different perspectives of basically what we're doing is trying to look at the heart of the apostles and at the same time talking about where's Satan, what's he doing. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down into hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved, and it goes on and on and on. It's talking about God is going to bound certain people before the foundation of the world. Jude 6, it says this. I'm going pretty quick because I don't want to be here till 2:30, and you guys don't want me here till 2:30. So, and the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of that great day. Revelation 12:4. And his tail drew a third part of the stars of heaven and cast them to the earth, and the dragon stood before that woman which was ready to be delivered to devour her child as soon as it was born. So what's happening is before the fall, before creation, there was a warfare in heaven. Lucifer, the devil, was cast out with his angels because they were disobedient to God. God allowed this for a reason because he's going to give a gift offering to his son, which is the bride. So God is refining his bride for the bridegroom. And why does he do that? Because of Genesis 3:14 and 15. My wife is cringing, saying, get on with this. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle. We've got to remember the influence of the devil here with Adam and Eve, getting them to take of the fruit, forbidden fruit. And unto the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field, and upon the belly thou shalt go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. I like to think of this as God's sense of humor. You'll be eating my dust. And boy, I can create some good things out of dust. Because I'm creating an army. An army that will, and the 15th verse says, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. The fallen angels, Lucifer, there's going to be enmity. There's an army I'm building. You think you've won because you've influenced Adam and Eve to sin. You've just fallen into the category of what I have planned in the first place. God's saying this. There's going to be an army. The bride. My bride. That's going to hate the things that you do and influence. And love the things that I do and influence. And they will defeat you. And it says here, enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Do we love the things that God loves? And do we despise the thing that God hates? If we do, we're part of the bride. We're part of the bride. And that's why he's come, and that's why Christ is born. So we're part of this story. And in the beginning I said, how does this apply to me? And the reason why I say that's important during the process of sanctification is we read the Bible by saying, how does this apply to me? But there's a point during sanctification where God is saying, it's not about you. It's about me. This story is about me and Christ and the Holy Spirit. It has very little to do about you, but it has to do with the potter molding the clay to do the things that are necessary in his kingdom so that the bride is presented holy, blameless, and beautiful to the bridegroom. Why? Because he is worthy of a perfect bride. The responsibility goes to God the Father to present that bride. So there's a series of things that happen when we look at this. The birth of Christ is significant. The virgin birth is significant. Because the sin, the seed of the man, if he wasn't born of a virgin, then he would be guilty by association. Right? He'd be guilty by the fact that he was born of Joseph. And we all come short of the glory of God. Not one seek after God, no, not one. So Christ would have been born guilty. He had to be a virgin. That had to be a virgin birth because the actual seed line is pure because it's of the Holy Spirit. So in Revelation 19, 7 to 9, we're starting to look at what God is doing in chapter 14 through this revelation. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, the Lamb of God, Christ. For the marriage of the Lamb has come, and the wife hath made herself ready. Who's the wife? The bride. How is the bride made herself ready? Because they believe in the work of the cross. What is the work of the cross? Jesus came to pay for our sins. A few thousand years ago, he came to die because he came to save sinners. So all the sins from the beginning, time basically, to the end of time, all the ones who believe in Jesus Christ and the work of the cross will be saved. And who are those? That's the bride. That's the chosen. That's the elect. That's the called. That's the spiritual seed of Abraham. They're all, you could put equal sign to all of them. So we have this lamb. He says, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife hath made herself ready. She's ready. Why is she ready? Because she believes in the work of what Christ has done. He died. The wrath of God was appeased at the cross. 3 hours he received the wrath of God. Our sins were put on Christ. And on Resurrection Sunday, he rose again, and we received his imputed righteousness. The 33 perfect years was imputed to us who believe in the work of the cross. It's that simple. And the glory goes to him. And it's made his wife herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, the robe of righteousness which was imputed to us, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. And he saith unto me, Blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, these are the true sayings of God. In chapter 22, the final chapter in Revelation 16 and 17. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify unto you these things into the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David. I come from David and am the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. The bride of Christ is saying, come, Lord Jesus, come. And the bride is saying here, come. And let him that hears say, come. And let him that say, athirst, come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. What's the water of life freely? The word of God. Reading it, immersing it, studying it, learning from it. And how do we learn from it? Through the Holy Spirit. It's God working in us through that Holy Spirit. 2 Corinthians 11. 2-4. For I'm jealous over you with a godly jealousy. This is good. This is a good thing. Now, Paul is talking to the Corinthians who were believing in other gospels. But he's portraying what the Father is basically portraying. The Father is saying this thing, for I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through the subtlety of, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom ye have not preached, or if ye have received another spirit which ye have not received, or another gospel which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. The bride is going to be presented a chaste virgin, holy, blameless, and pure. John 7, 37 to 40. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water, the water of the word. But this spake of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given. Why was the Holy Ghost not yet given? Because it was not finished. The Holy Ghost was given in the book of Acts. The indwelling Holy Spirit that indwells and guides and directs and gives you power. It was not given. It says, but this spake of the Spirit which that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. When was he glorified? When he went up to heaven 40 days after. He received his glory. Remember in the 17th chapter, bring me back to the way I was before when I came to the earth. Now he's this is before his, so now it's Holy Spirit. Many of the people, therefore, when they heard this saying, said of a truth, this is the prophet, not a prophet, the priest and the king, is what they're saying here. John 3:29. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom. But the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy therefore is fulfilled. He that hath the bride, Christ has the bride. We are the bride. We are the church. The best man feels the same way. He rejoices greatly because the bridegroom's voice. Why? Why does he rejoice greatly because of the bridegroom's voice? Because he's the bride as well. He's the bride as well. John 15, 16. But I got to do something. I got to produce good work. I got to do something. We're here for a reason. Like, we've got to do something. We can't just sit back and rest. Jesus says, rest on me. John 15, 16. We've got to do good works. Isn't that something we should be doing? Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, and whatsoever ye ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. I think I'll read that again. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, and whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. What is the Father doing with the clay vessel? John 14, 1-4. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. I'm going to prepare a place for you in heaven. Why? Because you're my bride. That's the promise. I'm preparing a place for you. And if I go prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. The picture is this. God is going to put influences in your life. Allow influences in your life to make you stronger and better, so that you become more like Christ. You are predestined to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. Why? Because you're the bride, and God the Father is presenting you to his Son as the bride of Christ. He will perfect it. He will make sure if you're going on a different path one day, there will be a tree in front of you that you will have to turn around. And there's days where the path is clear and you're walking down that path and things are beautiful and the obstacles are for your benefit so that you turn in the right path, because he's the potter and we're the clay, and he's molding us and making us as the bride, and he's finishing the race that we're running. He's carrying us through this. Ephesians 5, 25-27. So Ephesians 5, 25-27. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church, the bride, and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify it, set it apart from the world, the flesh, and the devil, and cleanse it in the washing of water by the word. By reading the word, by immersing ourselves in the word, by being involved in a local church, by having it so that that influence is stronger than the influence of the world, the flesh, and the devil. Because the word of God says you will never convert your flesh. It's impossible. Your flesh will be your flesh. All your flesh does is influence you to sin. That he might present it to himself a glorious church, the bride, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. God the Father is presenting us as a gift offering to his Son in heaven, because he's worthy of a perfect bride. Do we not think that that bride will be perfect? It has to be, because Jesus was perfect and is perfect. Is he not the potter? Are we not the clay? He will present it beautifully, holy, and blameless. So the parable on Matthew 25 of the 10 virgins. It is interesting, isn't it? They all trimmed their lamps, the five trimmed their lamps, and they had oil. You notice the ones, the five that had oil, didn't give oil to the others. We can't give the Spirit of God to others. Our job isn't to do that. We're to pray for them. We're to uplift them. We're to put ourselves in their shoes. We're to be gracious. What does gracious mean? Favor. You favor them over yourselves in that conversation. In that conversation. That conversation might have a few swear words that are offended to you. Christ doesn't need your defense. Christ needs you to offer grace to that person. The reason why they're talking the way they're talking is because they don't recognize the flesh as evil. And we offer grace in a way, and we also speak truth. And we stand on the truth. And we have to understand as God's children, or I have to understand as God's child, that God will get just as much glory out of his wrath as he does out of his grace. Just as much. But his wrath was put on his son for 3 hours as he was on the cross. It was total darkness. Your sins and my sins were put on him. But he resurrected from that. He defeated that. And he rose again and he said, "You are pure, holy, and blameless. You can now preach the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm set apart from the world, the flesh, and the devil to do what? To glorify God. How? I have the indwelling Holy Spirit that directs my path, directs my ways, and I am sealed till the day of redemption. My name is in the book. I am confident that God will keep me. Because it's up to me to keep myself. I'm lost already. It's up to God to keep us. Because we are the gift. He's wrapping a present for his son, the bride of Christ. Let's close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your holiness. We thank you for your word. We thank you for this Advent season, which you brought your son to come into this world to save sinners. The birth of Christ in a season where we are busy doing things, and give us the ability to just recognize him daily as a need. Give us the ability to die daily to ourselves. Give us the ability to pray for others. Give us the ability through that Spirit to show grace, to love our enemies, to love them who despicably use us. And give us the understanding that as part of the bride, we just ask you to come. Because we understand it is finished. We understand we rest on the work of the cross. And we understand that you are loving, just, and holy. And through all those attributes, you will be glorified. In Jesus' name, may the Lord bless you and keep thee, and may the Lord make his face shine upon you and give you grace. Lord, lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen. Let us close with 04.